Americans might not be familiar with, or Canadians as well might not be familiar with the term taking the piss. Taking the piss is joking around, being sarcastic. You know, are you taking the piss? You know, are you
taking the piss?
Yeah, there you go.
How's my English accent? Is that good?
I think you nailed it, man.
Yeah. Are you taking the piss?
That also might be something that you should never do again. But one. Anybody who doesn't know Fat Sal's, their food is indulgently gross. Do you eat at Fat Sal's, Francisco?
Not really. I mean, I tried not to. I mean, no. I mean, I don't think I even had it. What is it like? It's like Fuddruckers, kind of like that. Like it's like a higher level of Burger King or McDonald's, right?
It's even worse. It's because. Like, worse. Are you aware of what they do?
You can't get worse than McDonald's and Burger King.
Oh, dude, do you know what a Fat Sal's burger is? So it's a beef. Let me just tell you. Let me allow you to now know what a Fat Sal's is. You tell me if you're not going to think this is worse. Yeah, you ready? Ready?
Yeah, go.
You go ahead and load up whatever rebuttal you got in your mind. But it's a beef patty. A layer of pastrami, a layer of fish fingers, a layer of bacon, a layer of chicken fingers, some mozzarella, some aioli, and a garlic bun. And I've forgotten a few other ingredients. That's what a Fat Sal's burger is. It's gross. In fact, my buddy, I was down to like the last three bites ahead of my burger. My buddy was like, how was that? And I was like, it's fucking gross.
Really? Okay.
It's great.
Okay, but my rebuttal or what I was trying to say is that it's not, even though, yeah, that's a lot of like ingredients and fatty ingredients and all that stuff. I'm talking about like in terms of like quality of ingredients and stuff like that. I mean, I'm assuming that Fat Sal's have better ingredients and better meat and better whatever than McDonald's, for example. So that's what I was talking about, you know, because McDonald's is kind of like the shittiest of the meats, you know what I mean?
Well, you may be assuming wrong. I don't know. I think McDonald's had a huge controversy about a decade ago and they had to improve their standards.
Yeah, but I'm talking about, but it's still McDonald's, you know, like it's not good. So I'm thinking, yeah. I mean,
none of it's good.
Yeah, none of it is good. I mean, at the end of the day. By the way, our producer Brian says that Fat Sal's is owned by Turtle from Entourage. You know, remember remember Turtle?
He's lost a lot of weight, but he's the fat friend.
He was the original Fat Sal, and now he's Thin Sal.
Was his character's name Sal in Entourage?
No, it was Turtle. Name was Sal?
His real name, that's what I'm asking. What's his real?
I don't
there
know.
There we go. No. All right. So that's I did not know that. So he named it after his character.
No, his name is Jerry Ferrara. That's his real name. But in the character, Entourage, Sal. Yeah, and he was fat.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I would have named it Fat Turtles.
Well, I mean, that would still work too. I mean, it's quite the idea he came up with, man. It's quite the place. If I buy a sub from Fat Sal's, it takes me 2 days to eat it.
Wow.
Basically.
Yeah. So, I mean, at the end of the day, you put anything that's like bad out there and it's going to be successful. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Especially in this day and age where like in my, like, it's like a cheat day or whatever. If somebody wants to commit themselves, otherwise I'm healthy, but for my cheat day, I'll go get Fat Sal's and some Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah. 100%. So that was your thing. I was funny because I have a friend who's also not doesn't have a girlfriend, and he's also like his Valentine's was to also like eat like a pizza, like a huge pizza on his own. Like, so basically you and him, but the whole thing was like, well, if I'm not gonna get any love, and I'm gonna get fat.
yeah, man, that's it. That's it could be considered sad if I didn't say it with a smile on my face. I had a lovely time.
Actually, I picture you like in the Nutty Professor, you know, when he's like eating and crying. He's like
Yeah, and I felt it. I felt it in my soul. But at least I had a friend looking at me across the other side of the table going, isn't this delicious? It's so delicious. And I was like, all right, here's my Valentine's Day. Here we go. So, yeah, what about you? What did you
No, we just ate the Italian. That's pretty much it. Just ordered Italian food. And
so is that your – yeah, that's your choice of delivery? It's a pizza?
No, it was pasta and like a steak or, you know, with the, you know, like a filet, you know, like good, it was from a good restaurant that we ordered all the time, which is really good. And yeah, order. So yeah, it was good. It was good. To me, that's my cheat meal, you know, like pasta and like meat.
We are so LA. I know Alex Watson has rolled over in bed in England to try to, you know, to probably even help us out. Like I think she mods for like 40 shows, she was saying, but she might want to, she's probably watching our show and thinking of ways that she could help us out. But she's also going, oh my God, they are so Hollywood. The two of us together, like we're like 10 minutes in and we've already mentioned cheat days it's
well, you know, what's my, like, you know what? The thing is, like, I do like stuff to eat, but that it's not like fast food and stuff like that. No, like it has to be good stuff. Like I could eat like a lot of pizza, but it has to be good pizza. Like I'm not going to eat Domino's pizza, you know, like I don't like it. It's just, I'm not, I tasted it fine, but it's not, but I could eat a full pizza of like, from this place that I order or for example, like I love eating like jamón serrano or like prosciutto, like that stuff. Like I could eat like the whole ham by myself. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So, but I like that stuff. That's my cheat stuff, you know, stuff that's still not healthy, but it's, I guess the quality is better if you want to call it, you know what I mean?
I mean, I consider a nice cut of meat to be healthy nowadays. So
for sure. But cool, man. I think I think we should start with our introduction to everybody from you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right? I mean you're the boss man this week. Do you want me to just give a lowdown on what we did last week?
Yeah, and do it like
and
that,
and then I'll throw it over to you.
Perfect.
So ladies and gentlemen, watching in the wings or watching after we've recorded it and uploaded it to, you know, Spotify, etc. Last week was our first ever episode on Twitch. And so what we did was, because this is a podcast about traveling and the arts and stuff. So that's our angle. We want to talk to other artists who live around the world, and we want to talk to them about their choices on where they live, how they travel places, where they love to go. That's the idea behind it. We're 12 episodes in, as you can tell by our card down there. This is a live recording of episode 12, but last week was only our first one on Twitch. So we decided to use it in order to show you the interviewing format that we intend to use on guests. And what I did was I interviewed Francisco last week, and we interviewed him about what he likes when he travels and how he goes about things. There was all kinds of questions. What's his most important item he's lost, or what item does he not need that he still travels with? All kinds of questions like that. And where does he love to go? And then we just shot the shit as comedians do. So that's the gist. And now that brings us to this week, where the tables are turned and Francisco's the boss.
Yes. So I'm going to ask you about 10 questions, and you just have to answer, just give one more answers. And then we'll go back and revisit those questions so you can explain yourself to those answers.
All right? And also, while we're going, if anybody has questions or anything like that, feel free to throw extra questions in the chat. We will get to them after we finish these 10 questions. So go ahead, line up some crazy questions for us to get to after we do all this. And you guys are about to learn a little bit more about me.
Cool. We ready?
Yeah, I think I'm ready. I haven't tried to guess what you're going to ask me, but
don't guess. I mean, they're normal questions, you know, nothing crazy. Okay. First one. If you could live anywhere, where would it be?
Ooh, okay. Well, I do love living in Los Angeles. I've really enjoyed the move to Los Angeles.
One answer question.
Okay, Los Angeles. It's probably boring to say the place you live, though. But
no, that's fine. That's fine. Los Angeles.
I'll expand on it after.
All right. What is your biggest complaint about your job?
The travel. The travel.
Okay. All right. What would you sing at karaoke night?
Oh God, this needs to be updated because it used to be summer of 69.
Summer of 69.
But I need a new one. I'm in need of a new one.
But you said summer of 69.
Yeah, well, it's too late to change it because that would be the last time I did karaoke was pre Bryan Adams ruining his reputation. So,
all right. Yeah. Next question. Have you ever had a nickname and what is it? Or you can just say it. Have you ever had a nickname and then explain
I had a nickname that's no longer used, but it was very popular. And it was the same nickname that my father and grandfather had, which is Whitey.
Okay. All right. We'll talk about that.
Doesn't fly anymore.
All right. Yeah. If you, next question, if you could go back in time, what year would you travel to?
So I just off the top of my head, I would maybe pick, the height of Saturday Night Live and Pearl Jam and Nirvana and stuff. I'd go 1994.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah, 1994, and I'd be hanging out in New York with Chris Farley and Adam Sandler and David Spade.
All right.
Okay. That would be and going to see Pearl Jam at night.
All right. Next one. If you could share a meal with any four individuals, living or dead, who would they be?
Oh, the old dinner party one, eh? Yeah. So, by four individuals. I always say Huey Lewis because
it's from the news.
Yes. From the news. I was very young when he was huge, of course. So, but I always hear these stories and there's a lot of Hollywood stories about him that I think are great.
Well, just one question.
Oh yeah. So I got Huey Lewis. I got to pick, two more. This is very difficult. Here it is. Wayne Gretzky and Liz Phair.
Liz Phair. Okay, cool. All right. Next question. What is the craziest thing you've done in the name of love?
When I was in high, I raided a
one
I
answer ra- question.
Yes, I'm gonna raided. I raided a provincial gardens to steal flowers.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool. That's good to talk. And then two more questions. If you had a warning label, what would yours say?
Caution takes his time.
Okay. And last one, what is one thing you will never do again?
Jeez. None of these questions are about travel.
They are. I mean, some are about, travel back in time.
I will never
live anywhere. I'm not going to ask 10 questions all about travel.
I'll never ski or snowboard again.
Okay, cool. All right. Yeah. So let's go back to the first question that I asked, which is, it is about travel. Okay. If you can live anywhere, where would it be? You said Los Angeles, which is where you live right now. Where we live right now.
And I prioritize, I love the sunshine.
You grew up in the snow.
I grew up in the snow, and Nova Scotia is beautiful. It's a beautiful part of the world. And and even when the snow is on the ground, it's like a blanket of warmth and the sun reflects off the snow and all that. I can be romantic about it, but I don't want to shovel it anymore. I don't want to shovel snow, I don't want to be in the rain. I lived in Britain for 15 years, including, I just read a comment there, and Brain Guts did the same thing he did last week. Was he just added while traveling?
That's an inside joke from both of us, to the three of us.
Which is a great thing.
Oh, so, by the way, Warrior, we're gonna answer your questions at the end. By the way, just anybody knows whoever chatted, so don't worry.
We'll be with you, Susie. I prioritized the sunshine, and it was Britain. It was a very rainy day in London too, on the day I was deciding to get my visa done. So that's why I chose LA. But I will say I've been to some beautiful places like Barcelona and Edinburgh, where I started my career, are both gorgeous cities.
Yeah.
I would visit them again in a heartbeat. Yeah. They're absolutely stunning. The Gaudi art in Barcelona is mind-blowing, the way the buildings are designed. So I do love those cities, but that's why Los Angeles popped to mind, is because I love not being wet.
Yes. Yeah. No, true. I grew up in, I was even though I grew up, I basically have lived my whole life in the U.S. pretty much, but I was born in Venezuela and grew up there, and it's just sunny. It's like L.A. weather, like summer, yeah. L.A. weather the whole year. So, yeah. So I do have to say that I also like the weather, you know, like just being in a warm place, you know.
Yeah, man. Other places that I've lived is like we're waiting for that 2 weeks of summer.
Yeah, yeah. No, and that's
the case in England. It's the case in sometimes in Nova Scotia. And
yeah. Like I get.
Like where? Yeah,
mine. I think mine would be Paris. I do. I mean, even. Right. I mean, that's the only one that I've been to basically in Europe, or you know, besides Ireland. So, but I do like Paris in terms of like the city and the food and the culture and all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, the thing for me about these European cities is that they have this great culture and they're
and
beautiful.
History. Yeah.
But they have really poor like insulation in building because everything's so old.
Got it.
You're just so cold. Like I just think of all the places I lived in Edinburgh and Britain. Yeah. And like it's so hard to manage the heat in these old buildings and stuff like that. Wow, as people winds on, but you know, champagne problems. I mean,
all right. Second question that I ask you: what is your biggest complaint about your job? And you said traveling, which is it's a travel podcast. Another travel question.
Yeah, there you go. Travel in the answer. Yes, traveling is the we are the middlemen of our own job, aren't we? We have to be our own delivery men.
We're our own circus.
Yeah, if only somebody else when they invent like teleportation or something, or if I could send somebody with a device, if I could sit at home and then send somebody with a device to the destination, you go to New York, take this device, push the button when you're there, and I will just teleport there. I would love that. I also, I don't know if this has happened with you, but I have a manager who famously said something to me many years ago when.
Oh, not the same manager there.
No, no, not our LA. Francisco and I have the same manager here in LA. no, this would be a manager in Britain. And basically she booked me in for a gig that was like in middle Europe or something. I had to go like Croatia or something for £200, right? Which is probably about $300.
Wow.
But the plane journey to get there was also insane. So the money wasn't great. The plane journey was insane. There was all kinds of change, like change in Amsterdam and then change in Paris or something. It was just insane. And I wasn't happy. And I called her and I wasn't happy. And you know what she said to me? She goes, but I thought, but you love traveling. I was trying to help. And I was like, this isn't traveling. This is tedium trying to get to my job. This is not.
Yes.
I don't love sitting on a plane, my dear. Yeah. So I had to actually explain to an agent once. Oh, I thought you loved traveling. I'm like, I do love traveling, but not like what you're thinking.
Yeah.
And agents do like to sometimes lean on that. Like, you know, everybody in our industry, they love to lean on, well, he loves his job. His job. He's willing to sacrifice all these other things.
And just to add to that, I think the same thing with traveling. It's like, for me, it's like, it's just not, it's because also right now we travel basically all on our own. We have to do everything ourselves. So that's very tough too. Like, I love to travel. Like once you start like doing, you know, theaters or arenas where like, you're traveling good. Somebody's picking you up. They put you in a nice hotel. You stay there. If you want to go like, look, I'm going to be there. I want to get there 3 days before so I can chill and whatever. They are like, you know, right now I'm traveling and getting the day of the time that I have to perform and leaving the next day. Yeah, that's not.
Yeah. Me. Yeah. When have you ever said that? When you arrive at a gig, like exhausted and your flight got delayed and then the promoter's there, you're late, but are you okay? And then you're like, I love to travel.
Yeah. The only thing actually, and that's what I'm saying, we love our job because I mean, I think it's the same thing goes for you too. Like, after all that crap of traveling, once we get on stage, we're like, okay, cool. Yeah. But then we're done with stage and we're like, now I got to wake up at 4 a.m. It's like, fuck, I got to wake up to go to travel again. So. All right. Next question. The other one was, what would you sing at karaoke night? You said Bryan Adams, Summer 69.
did say Bryan Adams, and I gotta say it's been my karaoke song for a long time, and I
why
good at it. It was a fun. I mean, I guess it was.
So what happened with Bryan Adams? I don't recall what happened.
Something controversial. I'm not sure what. I you know what? So I don't know. There's a groundswell. Like I don't know. He's done probably something that's probably actually innocent, but it's been interpreted.
Well, hopefully our producer Brian can let us know quick.
Later. He's been maligned or something. So I don't know. That came to mind. You know what? Another good one is I have a fond memory of singing Wanted Dead or Alive with a good buddy of mine, named Mark LePage. He and I did Wanted Dead or Alive at karaoke. We've done it at karaoke. If we're drunk in a city that has a karaoke,
every karaoke you do drunk. I don't think, unless it's like LA where people come here to be discovered.
That's exactly like, what I was going to say. They don't do it.
That's annoying.
They take it serious in LA.
Well, yeah. I don't like it. That's why, like, if I'm doing karaoke, I like it like in the room by your, you know, with your friends, and that's it. I'm not doing karaoke in public.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I had some friends visiting from London, like a couple before the end times, like a couple years ago, and we were at Oil Can Harry's over in Studio City, and there's a karaoke bar upstairs. But the people at the karaoke bar upstairs are clearly like all like from all walks of life, but they've all moved here to become famous singers.
Yeah.
They all take it very seriously, and then my friends from London kind of didn't notice the room, and we're upstairs, and then they came over and they're like, we've signed us all up for karaoke, and then me and the other comic who lives here in LA, we had to go, guys, if you looked around the room, this is not a fuck around karaoke deal.
Yeah.
We're gonna get like darts for doing it. So yes, there's some very serious rooms here.
By the way, my gun is huge and song is Crash Test Dummy.
Oh, right.
Which one is that one? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
that one. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm assuming it's like, yeah, I wrote. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a Canadian. They're a Canadian band. I do know Big Gun too. He's Canadian. He's from Canada, so I understand why he's picking the Crash Test Dummies.
Oh, got it. Easy when you're drunk, he says. Cool.
Right. Yeah, I guess you just stand there and mumble.
By the way, our producer Brian got back to us, and he said that, yeah, Bryan Adams got accused of racism over a bad-eating virus making rant.
Right.
Which I guess he went. I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to read the article right now, but that was the thing.
Yes, he probably said something insensitive and who knows? I don't know anymore. I don't know. When somebody says something, I think we need a new rule. I wish we could as a society. If somebody says something dickish or insensitive, I wish we didn't jump to cancel them. I wish instead we turned to them and go, do you realize that was dickish and insensitive? And then we see
If they go like, yeah, fuck, I messed up. I didn't realize it. My bad.
Yeah,
but if they double down, then go at it at Twitter.
Yeah. Because I want to think Bryan Adams probably said something stupid like, they're eating bats in China.
He did go from what the article says, he did go into a rant. So that's pretty bad. Like, if you just go one sentence, but if you go into a rant, it's like, okay, buddy, relax.
Yeah, I'd have to see it and take it. I'm just aware of the story. But, you know, often when I'm told it's a rant or it's something that will end the world, and then I read it and I'm going, oh, really? We're after this person for that? Anyway, it's sometimes pretty hard. But so, I'm not aware enough of the story, but I was definitely, I definitely loved Summer of 69 as a karaoke. But now Bon Jovi. Bon Jovi's replaced it. I'll go with
Until Bon Jovi goes into a rant against something else, and then you'll keep changing them.
I'll have to pick artists who are dead so that they can't. I'll be like, all right, we gotta do Sinatra.
Yeah. Well, no, if they want to cancel Sinatra, they can really do it.
I know.
The good thing about Sinatra and all those guys is like, yeah, nothing was ever recorded. So then there's no really proof, you know, but
it's just hearsay.
Yes. Okay. So the next question that I had was, have you ever had a nickname? What is it? You said Whitey was your nickname.
Yeah.
Because, but you—that's because of your family. It wasn't like a nickname that was given to you by your friends, It was more of a family thing.
Oh, it's natural. Pre 2016, I'm gonna say. I'm just picking the year out, but yes, my grandfather's nickname was Whitey. My father's nickname was Whitey. I'm gonna guess that my great grandfather's nickname was Whitey because Whitehead easily shortens to Whitey. It's just instinctual. Even when I was a kid, within somebody, if we were playing hockey or anything, within meeting me, I think their instincts were that his nickname is going to be Whitey. But now, even my friends who called me Whitey even 5 years ago, I've noticed now they're going Whitehead. They're going, where's Whitehead at? What's Whitehead?
Yeah. I like Whitehead more than Whitey. Whitehead is more, to me, Whitehead is more of a nickname because it's funnier. It's a Whitehead.
Well, thanks. It is my last name.
But it's fun. I mean, to me, it's funnier than Whitey.
A nickname is usually a shortening or something, but
you know what I would call you? My nickname would be Casper.
Because I'm pale?
No, because Whitehead. Casper has a white head.
Oh, wow. That's more leaps than a Cockney rhyming slang, that one. I thought you were just saying, because you're pale and friendly. So
like, well, that too, but I mean, I was just taking your actual name and last name, the like, it's funny because also my nickname growing up was my last name is Ramos, which in Ramos also means like in Spanish means like a plant, not a plant, like a palm tree or something like that, you know. Okay. So like, they would call me Rama, which is like grass or something like that, you know, like something with plant, because just a play on words of my my last name.
Yeah, I mean, your last name is so nice and concise and brief anyway, I would probably call you Ramos, you know.
Yeah.
And I agree. Soma in the comments says calling me JJ is a nice nickname. And that's true. My name is Jason John Whitehead. Yeah. So JJ is a nickname.
Yeah,
as well.
JJ. It's kind of like in Spanish also, like Francisco has a different, which I don't like any of the nicknames because it's like Bob in English, like Robert Bob. Francisco in Spanish is like, you can call somebody that's Francisco Pancho or Paco.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I don't like, and those are like the actual, like they're calling somebody Bob or Dick for Robert.
All right, you know? So you never go, it's never Frankie. Or Franco.
I like Frankie. I don't mind Frankie. I don't mind Frank. I don't mind any of those. I just don't like Pancho or Paco. I don't like it.
What about Cisco?
Nah, I don't like that one. Yeah. It brings back the thun song.
All right. Okay. Yeah.
That
thun,
thun, thun, thun, thun.
Fair point.
Okay, next question that I asked you was, if you could back in time, traveling, if you can go back in time, where would you travel to?
Yeah, well, there you go.
And you said pretty something that you were like, I would, you know, you went like just 20 years or 30 years ago. Nothing bad, nothing like 1500 or something like that.
Why would I want to go like back before showers were invented? I don't have any desire to travel back to before they had plumbing or anything like that. In fact, I love the idea of being able to see Chris Farley perform live and just being there. I mean, I went to Saturday Night Live. I was lucky enough to go. It was Valentine's Day a few years ago, and it was actually I was touring with Jim Jefferies, and we were in New York. And Paul McCartney was playing Saturday Night Live on Valentine's Day.
Wow.
And they were with the same touring agency as us. So we got to go in and watch the big Paul McCartney performance.
That's cool.
And I could see all the Saturday Night Live alum and celebs were all around me and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, this is if my career hadn't taken me to Britain, I'm like, this is where I would have wanted to get to. So that's why if I had to say, for me, all the inspirational artists in my life came to a great head in about 94, because Saturday Night Live was just smashing it, you know, with Dana Carvey and Mike Myers and Farley and Sandler. And then also I was just falling in love with rock music because of the whole, like I was living in British Columbia at the time. So I was just a ferry ride away from Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
So a whole Seattle scene for me. I have very romantic feelings about 90s rock and roll and stuff. So that's why I picked 94, and that's why I ain't going to.
I think you also picked 94 because that's the year that I moved to the US.
So you moved to the US.
You were like, so you were like, wow, this guy inspired me because you moved in 94, you know, when I was a little kid. That's cool. No, it's fine. I do like that. That's a good answer. I would say people always go back to what would you go back in time? And like it's kind of like you said, but for me being in a minority, it's like no minority wants to travel back in time. You know what I mean? Back to the Future doesn't work if it's Martin. Instead of Marty, it's Martin. You know, he's like, where do you want to go, Doc? To the future? You're gonna go back to the 1950s so I can get racist on and then arrested for looking at somebody.
Yeah, let's be honest. The world, for all the bitching and complaining that we're all doing all over the world right now, the world has gotten better. On every level, travel. Could you imagine it? Why would I want to go back to like horse and buggy? Stinky armpits. Sloshing around in shitty shoes and shitty clothing, and I'm just like, that's why men wore all that powder and shit, wasn't it, to cover up how they stank.
I had a bit too about it too. It's like people complain, like, today's war is like, but now you don't have to even hunt for your food. If you want chicken, you go to the supermarket. But now it's like, imagine back in over there, it's like, I'm going to have to go kill, a rabbit. It's like, fuck. It's like, if you don't kill it, it's like, what do we? Nah, forget it.
Yeah, if they're like, I would love to, I'll go to Everest or I'll go to Yellowstone or something before there's anybody there. Like, well, good luck eating.
bring some protein bars because you're going to need them.
You're going to have to pack that time machine if you don't want to fucking die in the wilderness.
Especially now, we're not capable of surviving in any situation. They drop us in the 1500s in the middle of some wild. It's like that's it. One day, dead. Try to let me try to hunt it. Not die. Die.
Definitely. And the '90s would do me.
Okay. Okay. Next question.
I've already got the hair. I'd fit right in with the hair. They'd be like,
that's true. Yeah, you do look like you're a 94 already.
This guy clearly hasn't time traveled at all.
So, if you could share a meal with any, individuals, I asked four, but it doesn't have to be four, living or dead, who would they be? And you said Huey Lewis from The News, which is Back to the Future reference again.
That is a Back to the Future reference, and of course, lots of love for Michael J. Fox. Huey Lewis always pops into mind because I just think he just seems to have lived quite a life in a weird way. And I do. I listen to his chat. He's got a channel on Apple Music as well, and I listen to it. He talks about the 80s, and I just know there's all these celebrities from the 80s, and I think it's for me. At some point in the 90s, I was watching a documentary, and it was full of beautiful women. And they were all saying that, I think it was obviously something filthy that I was watching as a teenager or whatever. And the question was, who's the most hung celebrity? And I just thought it was funny because all these women were gushing about Huey Lewis. And there's all these Huey Lewis stories. And then Huey Lewis was like, some stories are true kind of thing. And I just thought he just seems to hold the room. And I thought he'd be fun at dinner. I know I said Liz Phair, but
you want to go meet him just because he's hung?
No, because he's got tons of stories of hooking up with chicks. If I have to sum it up for you in an easier fashion,
Hugh, is it true? And he's like, what? Like we're having dinner? Yeah, but
I just want to see what the charming king can tell me, and then And I would like to, because I was caught off guard with the question. I was having, I don't even remember who I said now, but because I do,
and
I would like
Lizzie. Who's Lizzie? I don't know who that is.
I said Liz Phair. She's a rock star for the 90s. But can I change Liz? I'd like to change Liz Phair to Rachel McAdams. I couldn't think of her name at the time, but I'd really love to.
Oh yeah, from The Notebook, from Wedding Singer. Yeah, she seems like a cool cool chick and very talented.
She seems very cool, and she's from Canada. And I have
She's from Canada.
She's from Canada, and I have always wanted to meet her. So she would be a dinner guest. I just didn't. I was like lost. Well,
but also, if you're having dinner, don't bring Huey Lewis because he's huge.
Well, maybe I can watch him work.
So anybody else? Any other?
I probably went for an athlete. I'd like to go actor.
Oh, Gretzky. You said Gretzky.
Oh, did I say Gretzky? Okay, cool. Well, then I'll live with Gretzky. The gray one. My brother would be jealous because Gretzky wasn't my favorite hockey player growing up. My favorite hockey player growing up was a guy called Guy Lafleur. But I think it's because he had my same birthday. He was probably my father's favorite hockey player before me, but it became because he had my birthday. But I think Wayne Gretzky would be more entertaining at a dinner table. Okay. You know, so I'll see it. That'll be my answer for now. And it changes every week, you know. So
All right. Cool. Next question was, who would you want to play you in a movie of your life?
Oh, right.
And I forgot what you said.
I don't think you asked me that.
Actually, I didn't ask you. I skipped that one. So now you can answer it now. Sorry. So who would you want to play you in a movie? And I'm going to guess it's Huey Lewis.
No, it's not Huey Lewis. But I'm his name's not coming to my mind right now. But he played Shaggy in Scooby-Doo.
Oh, yeah. That guy. I know who you're talking about. Maybe our producer Brian can help us at that one. But I know who you're talking about. And he's also he's in Scream. He was in Scream too.
He was in Scream, Up the Creek Without a Paddle.
Is that because just you look like him?
Sure. Yeah. Well, that's you said. I mean, I thought he and I get compared. Matthew Lillard is his name.
Matthew Lillard. Yeah.
And he and I do. We have frequently at times in my career, people have said, "Oh, do you know? Are you familiar with who Matthew Lillard is?" And I said, "You're going to say that I remind you of him, kind of thing." So that's why I will pick Matthew Lillard. I also get told that I'm like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. Have you heard that? Have you heard that our podcast, Francisco? Our podcast is Fez and Shaggy.
That's true. That should have been the name. Fez and Shaggy talk shit.
Fez and Shaggy have a podcast. Here you go. Say, I'll true. Pick Matthew Lillard. I wouldn't mind. I'd love to meet him. He seems like a good dude too. I'll have him to dinner as well. I'll have to tell him, you know, Huey Lewis is coming, but
okay. And now the question that I did ask you, the other one was that, what's the craziest thing you've done in the name of love? And you said, destroy some garden or something. What happened?
Yeah, I broke into a public gardens in I was living in Victoria, British Columbia. And so this is going to be I don't know. You guys can find this romantic if you want, but I was 16 years old and my father had been transferred to Nova Scotia on the other coast of Canada. I was going to high school in British Columbia, but we were moving the next morning and I had my girlfriend, my first ever girlfriend.
Your first love?
Yeah, my first love, the girl who took my virginity and everything.
Wait, she took it?
She sure did. And then,
so did she go like, I want your virginity?
No, she was a woman. But
but she took it. She's like, she was the lead.
You made her sound really aggressive. I'm going to have your virginity. It gets taken, right? It was also given by me. But
it was mutual. Nice. Did you take her too?
Of course. I don't know. If I did take her virginity, she didn't want to admit it. But she did have a story that I've slowly deconstructed over the years because she was like, I kind of had sex before. And I thought,
Kind of.
And now I've learned as I've become an adult, I've realized that nobody kind of has.
Yeah. Sex. Yeah. You know, she had sex with Huey Lewis.
Yeah. Well, you know, I hear he got around. So, so what I did was the night before we moved to, Nova Scotia, we were moving by car as well. Me and some of my friends, we took my buddy's car to this gardens and I climbed the fence and I went and I stole all kinds of like exotic flowers and stuff. And I put them all over her doorstep and her staircase and stuff. And then, and the next morning before I left, she did manage to catch up with me, and her mother had taken a photo, like photos of it. And so I got to see these, I'm trying to remember how I saw them, 'cause this is pre Facebook, right? But I did, she was, yeah, there in the flowers, and it was in the newspaper.
Oh, wow. Well.
And my parents are aware of this too. My parents found out. I did tell them, but it made the news. It was like, you know, it was like vandals raid Butchered Gardens, or anyway, vandals raid the provincial gardens to steal flowers. And that was me. And they were all over my girlfriend's lawn and balcony and stuff. And
did you write something with the flowers, or did you just throw them in there?
No, I didn't write anything. I just kind of made them look nice and go. I was like, there's a whole bunch of flowers. I did that 16-year-old shit. You know, I did a, you know, yeah, I didn't. No, actually, a 16-year-old would write something too, but for me, it was just a lot of, here's a lot of flowers for you, babe. See you later. Yeah. I'm moving to Nova Scotia.
How long did you live? Did you go out with her?
We were together for about a year and a half, I think. You know, okay. I think I started dating her in grade 11, I think.
11? You were 15.
I was 15, 16. Yeah. That's grade 11 and 12.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Wow. Okay, nice. Well,
I don't know if My Gun Is Huge is inviting Teemu Selanne to dinner, but that's a deep cut hockey reference there for both my producer and Francisco.
Who's why?
Because he's a hockey player, but it'll, so he's a hockey player. So
no, I know, but like, why is it? Is he like the rival of what you, the one that you liked?
No, not at all. No, he's just another hockey legend. But that's right. But Big Gun there, he lives in Winnipeg actually, and I think Teemu Selanne is a Winnipeg legend, so that's why. That's why.
Got it.
That's
got
why
it.
Big Gun is like, I'd like to meet that guy. I get it.
Okay. Next question is,
yeah, buddy.
If you had a warning label, what would yours say? And you said he takes his time slowly.
Yes, I said warning takes his time.
Okay, and that's for everything, I'm assuming.
It is for everything. I've never been in a rush. In fact, sometimes I should, but I was even thinking this today. Like, here I am. I even moved to LA 15 years into my comedy career, when a lot of people make the decision to go for the LA dream.
2 years in, yeah.
Yeah, 5 years or whatever, 6 years in. And I didn't fart around. I had a lot of fun. I had a great fun career in Britain. But yes, that would be an example of me not ever feeling the pressure of like, I better do this now in this moment kind of thing. So I've always taken time whereas other people don't. I've seen people around me in a rush to make it. And you know what? Yeah. They do make it and they do get it. And I've always kind of been like, it'll happen when it happens and stuff like that. Yeah. So that would be my warning, because I think that's also made, sometimes it's made relationships harder and stuff. If people are like, why aren't you more worried about this? And I'm just opportunities come and go.
Yeah. I also, I do think that warning label actually didn't apply the first time you lost your virginity.
Right.
This one's going to be pretty quick.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, for sure. Including the next time I have sex. Because as I will share with you right now, I sense I might be a reborn virgin, because I haven't had sex in like a year. So,
oh, you're talking about now. Oh, okay.
I'm talking about, I feel like I've been re-virginized, because I haven't been dating or having sex. So it'll probably be quick the next time. I'm sure this is information that everybody appreciates, but yeah, I mean, if you're out of practice,
we're getting to know you.
You're getting to know me, and I'm out of sexual practice. I used to be very good at the sex, and that's important to know. Up until 2019, very good at the sex, but post 2019, I am going to assume I'm not so good at the sex anymore. I will probably throw my back out and
To be fair, I think that's everybody, you know, through 2020 that didn't have a loved one or a partner with them, because who's going to date in the middle of a pandemic? You know what I mean? It's hard.
Yeah. So. Thanks. That makes me feel a lot better, man. I'm glad that you're telling me that I'm not alone. So I appreciate
it. No, you're not. Last question, and then we'll answer the questions of the chat too. But this is the last question that I ask you. And what is the one thing you will never do again?
Ah, okay. And I said skiing and snowboarding.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You said that. Yes.
So there was, it used to be one of my favorite things in my career. I started doing, so there's, it's not called Snowden. That's a Canadian one, but there's a tour. There's a stand-up comedy tour in the Alps in France.
Oh, and wow.
And it's called Taking the Piste, which is a play on words, which Americans might not be familiar with, or Canadians as well might not be familiar with the term, taking the piss, Taking the piss is joking around, being sarcastic. You know, are you taking the piss? You know, are you
taking the piss?
Yeah, there you go.
How's my English language? How's my English accent? Is that good?
I think you nailed it, man.
Yeah. Are you taking the piss?
That also might be something that you should never do again. But So there's this tour called Taking the Piste, and as in the snow, as in the skiing piste, right? So that's there's your pun.
Like pain in the snow?
No, like a piste. Okay, so taking the piss is a term for making fun.
I know that, yeah.
But a piste is the ski hill. A piste, P-I-S-T-E, is a ski hill.
In French?
Everywhere in the world, that's the piste.
Yeah, okay.
But maybe it is originally a French term, but that is okay. Anybody who skis and snowboards will be familiar with the term piste. We're on the piste.
Okay.
So anyway, the name of the tour is called Taking the Piste. They've been around since the early 2000s, and I was lucky enough to do not only their first tour, but I used to go out every year. So they book, you know, they only run for like 3 months a year or whatever. So it's an exclusive group of comics to get involved with. And most of them are skiers and snowboarders. They're all proficient skiers and snowboarders. I was not. I was learning as I went. In fact, that was the only time.
So you didn't start snowboarding or skiing in Nova Scotia or British Columbia?
No, we don't. We don't have... Well, actually, we have really shitty ski hills in Nova Scotia. But yes, no, it was never a thing I did. It was, to me, I guess it was for richer people than my family was a little bit more working class, I guess. And I played basketball. So
yeah. I mean, but, skiing and snowboard, you got to have money. You know, it's not like soccer or basketball where you just need a ball.
Yeah, it felt like a rich man's game to me growing up. But anyway, so I wasn't that into it. But, you know, I tried casually and stuff. And then all of a sudden this tour came up, and basically the Taking the Piste tour is, it would be Chamonix, Val d'Isère, and a couple of the other really famous ski hills in France. And basically it was 5 days of free skiing and snowboarding. And then we would do shows at night. So it was really fun, and I did it for years, but always I wasn't improving much because I wasn't practicing between tours. So I was always this amateur snowboarder.
Got it.
Who looked like he should be able to snowboard.
And plus, also, like, those are tough hills. I mean, this is not bunny slopes.
Yeah, that's it too. And there was lots of those situations where I'm with another comedian who's really good, but all the way up the ski lift, they'd be telling me, I'm not good either. And I'd be going,
I hate that.
Dude, I'm telling you, I am not good at this. And they're always going, I'm not good either. Don't worry about it. And then we get off the lift and they're like, shh, shh,
yeah,
shh. And I'm like, fuck, dude, you're good. So, I did love them. If Richard, who runs the tour, is listening, because I would long for him to bring me back. But I'd be lucky enough to do it, but not have to ski. I know it is. They want that friendship. They want camaraderie. They want the comics up on the hill skiing. Most of my stand-up at night was built around my frustrations of the day of trying to learn and stuff. And it was all fun and funny. But the last time I did the tour, I thought I was getting good. Last time I did the tour, I'm going to say it was probably 7 years ago or something, but I was getting cocky. I thought I was getting really good. I was like carving up the hills a little bit, and I bailed really bad and concussed myself.
Concussion? Really bad.
Yeah, huge concussion. The lady who, the like one of the
so tour you managers, did you were faint? Did you faint?
I don't believe so, but I was not 100%. I was trying to pretend I was. I remember doing it, and I remember her going, oh my God. And I remember feeling like, oh yeah, that was quite thunderous. I might have blacked out for, like, you know, when you hit your head that hard and you concuss yourself, like on a rock or something. It was just, I wasn't unconscious or anything, because she walked me down. We had to walk down the hill now.
Yeah.
And I was, so I might have blacked out maybe for a second or something. I don't remember any of that, but I just remember for a fact I did concuss myself. I did walk down the hill, and I think that was the end of my snowboarding career. Not that it was ever great anyway. And that's when I was like saying to Richard, I think I'm done. I think unless I snowboard between trips every year when I do this tour, I'm never gonna be better. So I think that I can confidently say I may you have to give up things in life sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. Especially as we get older, like we might not want to, but it's like if we want to keep living, you know, a normal life, we have to.
And so I think, yeah, that big ass concussion on that hill in Chamonix was a big sign for me that maybe snowboarding's not for you there, comedian boy.
I have a funny story about snowboarding, because also I'm not good. I did snow, you know, I grew up in Maryland and obviously snows over there. So we would go to, like, you know, the an hour and a half, one slope. I don't know where it was, in New Jersey or Pennsylvania or something like that. Sorry. And then so we went there once, and then I remember I wasn't good at too. I think it was snowboarding at that point. And then first, what's funny is, like, I see my friend, we went with like a group of friends, and then I, as I'm in the lift, I see down, and all of a sudden I see like one snowboard just by itself, just like, ooh, just going, but there's nobody, it's just by itself. Yeah. I think that's my friend's snowboard. And then as I keep going on the lift, I see my friend just walking by himself, just like, and I'm like, oh shit. So then I get down, you know, and I start snowboarding. I'm like, I'm falling all over the place, you know, pam, pam, pam. And then all of a sudden I see like, before this, just to, so you can picture it, I didn't have any snow clothes or anything like that. So I had a friend, his friend gave me some snow clothes or something. So it was like the sister's, like, jacket or something. So it was like pink and purple and like,
just, so you got emasculated. So you also got emasculated on top.
Yeah. So it was a thing that I was like, you know, and I think it was very tight. I don't remember what, you know, it was like, and then, so then so when I'm snowboarding, I'm falling all over the place. And then one time when I'm falling, I'm like, all of a sudden I feel like something hit me, and I'm like, what was that? And then I go up and see, and then what I see is like a bunch of kids, or I mean, I don't know if they were kids. I think they were my age or something. Yeah. I was a kid too, but they were throwing snowballs at me from the lift, you know? And I'm like, and at that point I'm going like, fuck. I was like, I got scared. Cause I was like, cause he's like, oh, these guys are just going to like, then start like get out and then get me and then get. And I was like, so I grabbed my thing and I started like, just basically jogging with my snowboard. I was like, okay, I'm not good at this. This is
If you're not, if you don't grow up with it and stuff, it's hard to get over that hump. And can I just say, you just reminded me too, that was the thing I also said to justify not skiing and snowboarding anymore, was that I think I was trying to not admit that it was the concussion that scared me or anything like that. And I was trying to say, no, I like sports with less clothing. I was like, I played high school volleyball and high school basketball for a reason. I like to go to the beach. I like swimming in the ocean.
Yeah.
Those for me are these recreational activities that I love. And then going up in the mountains and putting more clothes on and then being wet and then strapping things to my feet. I'm like, it's not in my wheelhouse, man. My wheelhouse is basketball and the beach. That's what I want to
do. This is awesome. This is hopefully we can get more people and more people every week. But this is really great because and then next week, we actually going to have a guest. So we're going to ask them, the guest, questions. as well as your questions that you have. And yeah, so keep joining us next week, and we'll do it on Monday because we couldn't do it yesterday because it was President's Day. So we took off our, because of the holidays,
yeah. You know,
but, yeah. But we'll next Monday, we'll do it again. And, you know, so definitely come back, yeah. And thank you and spread the word, spread yeah, the word
so for your support. Yeah. It was a good time. You guys really kept it flowing as well. So,
yeah.
Thanks, man. Thanks
well,
so much.
Thank you. And thank our producer, Brian, as well for keeping us, giving us all the info.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'd love to see you guys back next week. Have a great week.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Bye. Hello.